puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Our Sunday morning date with Gordon Goldsborough. It's time for Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, a proud autumn tradition around Manitoba is the Fall Supper, sometimes also known as the Fowl Supper, many of which are held in historic halls in rural communities. So these halls are our topic today.
So I can understand why a meal at this time of year would be called a Fall Supper. I think I might be able to guess why it might be called a fowl supper, but I don't want to assume.
Well, no, and we should be clear that we mean fowl as in F-O-W-L, not F-O-U-L. I don't think I'd want to go to a fowl supper like that. We're meaning a meal that is basically birds. In the old days, this might have meant wild ducks and geese, but, you know, in more recent times, people aren't hunting as much as they used to. A fowl supper today usually entails domestic birds, things like turkeys and chickens. In some cases, there's other meats, typically things like ham. But, you know, I had an especially memorable fall supper back in 2008 when we ate turducken.
What's turducken?
Yeah, well, it's probably not terribly familiar to most people, but it is actually a contrived poultry dish where you take three separate birds, a deboned chicken that you then insert inside a deboned duck, which in turn you insert inside a deboned turkey. So as for turkey, duck as for duck, and N for chicken, turducken.
Okay.
And between the bird carcasses, you put in things like stuffing or sausage meat, and the result is basically a solid mass of meat that you grill or roast or barbecue. And when you slice it, when you serve it, of course, each slice has various colors because turkey meat and duck meat and chicken meat are all somewhat different in color and texture. And, you know, and it makes for a really interesting experience.
When you say interesting, like, is it delicious or just a little weird?
Well, I have to admit, it wasn't as good as I'd hoped it was going to be. It's, I think, contingent on moisture because some of these birds can be a little dry. And so my experience was that it was just a little dry, but it was interesting. It was certainly colorful, but yeah, okay. But of course, a fall supper isn't just meat. You have a variety of other things. You have starches and vegetables and salads and desserts, and of course beverages, so it makes for a full meal experience.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the older halls where these fall suppers were served or are served. How many of them are there in Manitoba?
Well, this is a difficult question to answer, and I wanted to focus our conversation today on halls used for community functions like dances, concerts, theatrical performances, political meetings, fall suppers, you know, all those sorts of things. So I searched the MH database of buildings around the province using such phrases as community hall or memorial hall. But I avoided ones like town hall or municipal hall because those terms are usually meant to describe places of local government rather than as public meeting spaces. I also excluded private halls that were associated with things like legions and fraternal organizations, you know, the Orange Lodge, the Masons, and so on. And I also excluded church parish halls, although I readily admit these are sometimes used for community functions too. So I had fairly strict criteria, and I found 25 of these community halls around rural Manitoba that fit all my criteria, the earliest of which dates from around 1913. Not exactly certain the year, and it's at a place called Oberon, northwest of Carberry. Now, I'm told that the Oberon Hall is still in use today, and looking at it from the outside, it certainly looks like it's in active use. The building is well maintained. The second oldest is the hall at Harding, northeast of Verdun, built in 1914, and it too does look like it's a going concern. On the rest of my list, there are 9 halls from the 1920s and 8 from the 1930s, and there's actually quite a lot of historic halls around Manitoba, so if any of our listeners would like to see all of the ones I found, well, check out the MHS website at mhs.ca/halls.
You said that you searched for memorial halls. We've all heard that term, but what is the meaning behind memorial?
Well, and of course, it's especially relevant at this time of year because memorial halls were typically built after the First and Second World Wars as a tribute to community members who had died during military service. These halls are usually multi-purpose, and among the functions they host are dinners attended by a large proportion of the community as a way of fostering goodwill, but I think more importantly, remembrance of the local war dead. My search turned up 6 such memorial halls at Balmoral, Carmen, Carroll, Franklin, Oak River, and Roland. But that's not a complete number, and I fully admit that there are others because, well, for example, I know that there's a memorial hall at Napinka that was built just after the Second World War, but it has not yet been added to the MHS database, and I have a feeling there's lots more that we just haven't managed to find yet. The memorial hall at Carmen, well, it's truly impressive. It's, I think, one of the most impressive memorial halls in the province, a three-story brick structure that dates from 1920. But I would exclude it from today's count because the building is now used mostly as municipal office space. And likewise, the memorial hall at Roland is used for offices for the local government, too. So I'm not sure they're really public meeting spaces in the way I mean it.
Are there halls that you found especially distinctive or particularly interesting?
Yeah, a lot of them have really interesting stories of how they came to be. So, for example, the hall at Carroll was formerly a chapel at the Second World War Air Base near Souris. And, of course, at the Souris Air Base, they had a whole bunch of buildings that at the end of the war they no longer needed. So the chapel was moved to Carroll and renovated into the hall where it still stands today. So it dates from around the early 1940s, probably around 1940 itself. The hall at Dunnottar, meanwhile, it was built around 1920, not because it was a memorial hall, I don't think, but it has a very interesting architectural style that resembles that of the older cottages at Panema, at Whitewald and Matlock that surround it. So it really fits the recreational theme of the area. The former hall at Kaleida near Manitou is now a private residence, and that's kind of an interesting repurposing of a building that probably wasn't being used much, but it began life in 1920 as a place for members of the Loyal Orange Lodge. And of course, that's a fraternal order. They met there, but they disbanded in the early 1940s, and then for the next several decades, the building was used as a community hall for the group as a whole. And then finally, we have the hall at Silverton, east of Russell, was built in 1931, but it got a major boost in size. It's much bigger than it was back in the day, because in 1973, they moved a curling rink that had stood at another location in town for, well, apparently over 24 years. They moved it next to the hall and connected to it. So there's really a whole lot of interesting details about most of these old halls. They all have their own unique story, in other words.
Now, given the title of this series, are there any abandoned halls?
Right. And that's what I was interested in, too. And I have to say, it's sometimes hard to tell if a hall is abandoned because, well, just because it's surrounded by tall grass, for example, doesn't necessarily mean it's abandoned. It just might mean that somebody's neglecting routine maintenance. They haven't got out the lawnmower recently. That halls that seem to me to be unused, and I apologize to any communities that I might insult by this, well, the one at Haddishville looks pretty much abandoned. Likewise, Lone Sand, both communities, of course, in southeastern Manitoba. There is the Makaroff Hall northwest of Roblin and the Little Wee Spruce Bluff Hall west of Dauphin. It's really cute, but I have to imagine it's for a fairly small community because it's pretty teeny.
Are there any community halls at museums?
Yeah, well, I was interested in that too, because, of course, museums often collect heritage buildings. And I thought, well, this is a heritage building that should appear at least one. And yes, I found at least one that I know of. That's the Rhodes Hall that was once located southwest of Ethelbert. Built in 1933, Rhodes is kind of unusual in that it had a stage at one end so it could be used for community theatrical productions. In other words, they specifically designed it to be used for theater productions. It was last used as a hall in the mid-1980s. It was then moved to the Selo Ukraina Museum south of Dauphin, which is also the site for Country Fest. The building, though, is now home to the Ukrainian Musicians Association Hall of Fame. And I think, wow, that's a pretty specific use, but interesting.
Now, you asked our listeners last week to let you know about particularly fine examples of old halls. Did you hear back from anyone?
Oh, I did. Yeah, several of them. From a friend who wishes to remain anonymous, I heard about the hall at Ruthenia, south of Riding Mountain National Park. It looks to have been unused for quite a long time. And say, so there's another one that might be abandoned. And this is in stark contrast to a hall in nearby Olha, whose interior I saw recently. Its tables and chairs in fact, were set up in a configuration that looked to me like there was a fall supper imminent. And I was waiting. Oh, if I only I could stay long enough that I could enjoy a nice fall supper, but I couldn't. A listener, Susan Proven, pointed out that it's interesting the Olha Hall is as active as it is, given that Olha is not a big place. Essentially, it's a church. It's a small but very popular general store. It's a hall and a few houses. And yet it's just a thriving little hall. So you got to wonder, there must be some people there that really believe in the concept. From listener Aldrich Novotny, I learned about the spring and fall suppers at Cowan near Swan River. Most recently, one in late September, when they fed over 250 people. Now, not at one time, of course. They probably had several seatings, but that's pretty darn impressive. And he said that, and this is a quote, the suppers are fabulous, and I'm sure they are, and so is the bonding of the people. And that's really a function of these things, too. It's not just to get together and eat, but it's to meet your friends and your neighbors and enjoy real fellowship. And finally, I heard from listener Ray Bernier, who mentioned the Ukrainian National Home, which is just another name for a community hall in Fisher Branch. And it's been long active in hosting fall suppers, and he described them as legendary. Now, this is as far as we can go today, but we have barely scratched the surface of all the places where fall suppers continue to be held, and which are still widely enjoyed for their combination of food and fellowship. So I'll again remind listeners to check out all the halls that we have in the MHS database, and I will expand it as I learn about more at mhs.ca/halls.
Thank you, Gordon, and thank you to our listeners for getting back to you with all those suggestions. Mm-hmm. What's up for next week?
Well, recently we heard that the statue of a soldier that has stood for over a century near the intersection of Portage and Main here in Winnipeg will be moved to the Brookside Cemetery. And that got me thinking about statues of soldiers and what that represents. So next week, in recognition of Remembrance Day, we're going to consider some of the other statues of military personnel that stand at attention at communities around Manitoba.
Looking forward to that. Thank you, Gordon.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons